For Jesus, it all came down to this moment. This plan of salvation had been in place since literally before the world began. Jesus was preparing for this moment in history. This moment required thousands of years of planning, thousands of years of events to line up so perfectly that the will and plan of God could be fulfilled. And for Jesus, it all came down to this moment. 33 years was invested in this single moment. 30 of them silent, but 3 years of teaching and preaching and doing all kinds of miracles, and all of them for a single moment. For Jesus, it all came down to this. And this moment stood before Him like an open door, waiting for Him to walk through it. I think what amazes me the most, at least what I've been reminded of this year, is that even with all that was before Him, Jesus still chose to do it. He could have caught an audible at any time. That's when you have one plan in place and decide to go another direction. Had He done so, He would not have lost the glory of His Father. Had He done so, He would not have been cast out from heaven. He would have been still received in because He was without sin and flawless. But it would have been you and I who were cast out and had no place in the kingdom of God. You and I have these moments, I think, throughout life when it all comes down to this. You know those moments that you have probably planned for and prepared for, some your entire life, and yet when you're on the eve of that happening, you are not ready. I'm looking at mine. You can plan and you can prepare and you can read and you can do all the things you can do, but when it finally comes time, you realize that if you had 3 lifetimes, it would not be enough to prepare for the event that's about to happen. For some, when it all comes down to this, it's that moment when you have been dreaming of this for so long that as you begin to experience it and it unfolds, it's surreal. Because you think, this is not happening. I've wanted this for so long, and yet it's beginning to happen. And you and I have choices in this moment. Is that we have the choice of whether to go through with the plan, to walk through that door, or to call that audible. To forsake all that we have planned and all that we have prepared and to kind of do our own thing and go our own way. But we gather to remember that when Jesus had it all laid before Him, you know, He didn't leave us standing at the altar. He went through with what He had promised to do. So after Jesus had prayed all of these things for us, prayed that He would be glorified. You know how He would be glorified? That you and I would believe in Him for eternal life. That's the glory of the Father. He prayed that we would be sanctified, that we would be set apart from this world, protected from evil by the holy name of Christ Himself. He prayed that we would be unified in the love of the Father. And after He finished praying, He literally walked through a door. He left the upper room where they had their final supper together, and John records that they went out to the Kidron Valley. A valley is just something that has steep sides that goes down and back up. And He went out and crossed the Kidron Valley. Now, this was not significant to me until I did some study. But in the middle of this Kidron Valley, there was a brook. And if you were to follow that brook, it would take you in behind the temple. And behind the temple is where all the animals were sacrificed for the sins of the people. Now, I'd remind you that this wasn't any time of year. This was the Passover. This was the one time of year that our sins were atoned for. This means that there were thousands upon thousands of lambs that were sacrificed for the sins of the people. 30 years after the life of Jesus, we have a historical document that records 256,000 lambs were sacrificed. So I'm assuming we could say even now there were over 200,000 lambs sacrificed behind the temple during the Passover. Why is this significant? Because they used that brook of the Kidron Valley to help wash the blood away. So literally, as Jesus crossed the valley, He had to walk through the blood of the Lamb that was sacrificed. And on the other side of that valley was the Garden of Gethsemane. Now the garden was the place that Jesus went every evening this week of the Passover. He would teach during the day in the temple courts. At evening, he would go into this garden. This garden would have been owned by a friend. We don't know his name. But he would go into the garden to commune with the Father. I would think probably praying the same prayer that we know. Father, take this cup from me, yet not as I will, as you will. But you see the significance. In order for him to get to the place of communion with the Father, he had to go through the blood of the Lamb. Translation, it's still how we get to the Father. It's through the blood of the Lamb. You see, this garden was sacred ground. This garden was holy ground, where God Himself stepped down out of heaven and spoke to His Son. And in the middle of this holy ground, this hallowed ground, this beautiful spiritual moment where heaven kissed earth, in walks Judas. I want you to understand that Judas wasn't just a betrayer. He wasn't just mean. He wasn't just something that we would say, oh, we know people like, we don't know anybody like Judas. Because Scripture records that when Jesus gave him the bread to signify he would be the one to forsake him, the Bible says Satan entered him. This was all of the evil that has ever been done in the world is caused by Satan. And Satan was in Judas. And you have this showdown on the sacred holy ground where Jesus stood, and you have evil, and they come face to face. Now, I don't know about you, but if I have all of the Father living in me, I'm going to return evil with a force that just annihilates all evil in that person. Are you with me? I'm not so spiritual. I would say, let's get rid of all this evil, whatever it takes. But you know, the Romans tells us not to be overcome by evil, but to overcome evil with good. And watch what Jesus does. He doesn't hide. He doesn't run. He steps forward to look evil in the face and say, I am He. Now, Judas brought with him a detachment of soldiers. That's a key term. We're not sure really which word is meant by the detachment of soldiers, but let me give you a couple options. The least amount of soldiers that word would have meant were 200. The most it would mean was 2,000. So Judas did not bring 50 people. And I'm glad you're here. He brought at least four times us to fight Jesus. Here's Jesus with 11 men with him. The 12th facing him with at least 200 soldiers behind him. And I find it ironic that they brought weapons because they thought they'd have to use force. And they brought lanterns because they thought Jesus would hide and they would have to find him. But here he stood, not fighting, not hiding, not running. But in some ways, he just stepped in to evil and took all the evil upon himself. This week, I entered the week thinking that the place that good and evil met, that the battleground, was on the cross when the Father turned His face away. But I realized the battle was actually won in the garden. When Jesus had opportunity to fight evil, to overcome it, but instead He took it upon Himself. And here's the word of what He says. I am He. I am the one you want. And did you catch what He said? Let us go. Let Peter go. The one who had some evil still left in him because he was just a matter of moments away from forsaking Jesus himself. Some of the let the people go who had enough evil in them that they would scatter and not follow Jesus all the way to His cross. the people who had enough evil in them that Jesus told them time and time again that the Son of Man will die and on the third day be raised back to life, and yet they still did not believe. You know, it's hard when the way of goodness comes up against the way of evil in our life, isn't it? When we're doing the good God has called us to do, and yet it seems as if evil people succeed. It's hard when we are standing for truth, and we're standing for the Word and the love of God, and yet people and evil try and betray the name of Christ. That's difficult to do. And what we want to do is we want to fight with force. When evil's winning, we want evil to be defeated. And yet what we're reminded of is that just as Jesus in all of His goodness stepped into that evil, we in all of our evilness get to step into the goodness of God. I want you to understand one final thing. Jesus didn't just carry evilness on His back as if He was somehow detached from evil and sin. No, Jesus had the consequences of sin upon Him the same way you and I do. He just got them a different way. He got them because He took the battle that doesn't belong to you, and He said, I will fight it for you. He took it upon Himself. You and I choose to do it. We messed up at some place. Jesus didn't, and yet He chose to take what we messed up and take it upon Himself.